All right, good morning and welcome to Holding Fast, the Faithful Word, a radio ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church right here in the small town of Auburn. This is Pastor Tim, thanking you so much for tuning into the program this fine Saturday morning. The program for today, this is the second part I began last week, and it's based on a book that I had read, Disciplines of a Godly Man by Kent Hughes. I had actually taught all six chapters in a men's study on Thursday nights at the church. There were six chapters, so we went through each of those, and we'll be finishing up in a couple of weeks on that. And it proved to be a pretty profitable, encouraging, very instructive series for the men. And I know the author's wife had written a book, Disciplines of a Godly Woman, as well, and I'm yet to read that. I have it here, and I'm going to put that together. I think I got one from my wife as well, and she may be working on something with that material there. So anyway, this section deals with relationships, so godly disciplines as it relates to relationships. And Christianity is about relationships. I mean, first and foremost, our relationship to God through Christ. And so everything that we do in terms of our secular relationships has to spring from our relationship with God. If we don't have a relationship with God, if you don't have communion with God, if you're not in fellowship with God, then it will affect your relationships with your family, church folks, the people you work with, society, your social circles, you know, those types of things. And so we always want to be cognizant of our relationship with God. And we want to make sure that that relationship, above all else, and this is where the challenge comes in, because we don't want to compromise the secular relationships that we have. And so God gets put on the back burner. He gets our leftovers in a lot of cases. And that needs to be reversed. God needs to get our best all the time. And in doing that, then our spouses will get their best. Our children will get their best. Our coworkers will get their best. Our our social circles will get our best. The church that we belong to, the members of that church, the pastor, the church overall will get our best, because everything, as far as our relationships is concerned, is framed by that one ultimate relationship that we have with God through Christ. It can't be the other way. You can't do it the other way. Things will get messed up before long. The other thing I want you to keep in mind from a scriptural perspective, and this is something that I'm seeing a lot more of these days, the lines being blurred between the church and the world. The world is the natural enemy of Christ, hates the Lord and hates the Word of God, and is, as the text says, enmity with God. The world is at enmity with God. We're told not to have friendship with the world. We're told to be separate from the world. We're told to come out from among them. We're told not to be conformed to the world. We walked according to the course of the world, Ephesians 2. We were by nature children of wrath. And so to have a friendship with that is to show that we have a compromised relationship with God. If we prefer the world, the secular world, above the spiritual, that is to say, above our relationship with God, then there's something really lacking in our spiritual life and our understanding of spiritual things. And so in this section, I just want you to remember that our foundation is Christ. Our foundation is Christ and His Word, and that it is important as children of God to maintain communion with God first and foremost. And then everything else will sort of fall into place the way it should. You can't have a good, strong relationship with your wife or with your husband if you don't have a strong relationship with God Himself. And so the first point that I wanted to talk about in this series, and again, keep in mind this was for the men, but I believe this applies to the women as well, and you'll understand why in a moment when I get to the data. When we talk about purity, we, without a doubt, live in a very immoral world. There is no question about it. We're seeing more and more depravity within the public school system and some of the crazy, immoral, debased things that they're teaching young children. I mean, we're talking really young children, this transgenderism, this homosexual agenda, fornication, changing your identity, you know, your sexual identity. It's just an absolute horror show. It's a mess. It's an absolute travesty of a system that once operated in the realm of purity and dignity and righteousness, and that went south. So we have a big battle ahead. I mean, we have a lot to overcome as far as purity is concerned, because porn, to put it bluntly, is everywhere. And it's not, you know, back in the day before the internet, it was a magazine that you had, you know, you could go to the local store and buy, but you had to physically look at the clerk and say, yes, this is what I want, and buy it and then sneak it home or whatever you did with it. Here, it's everywhere. It's on your phones, it's on your tablets, it's on your computer, it's on the TV, it's in public. You can go, you know, just to the local store, and the way people present themselves in public is very pornographic. And so that struggle is real. And I pointed out to the men, it's very real for the men. And I hear this stupid response all the time. Well, you need to just control yourself. Get over it. Well, why don't you control yourself? Why don't you control yourself? You know, so, but anyway, be that as it may, we have some instruction from the Bible. But I want to read this first, and I want to share some stats with you. So, purity. Job 31, verse number 1. This is a text of scripture I would certainly highlight, memorize, put it on a sticky note, put it on your computer, put it on your, you know, bathroom mirror, refrigerator, put it on your phone, whatever. And this is what the text says. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? It starts with making a covenant. Lord, I'm not going to look upon a woman with lust in my heart, or I'm not going to look upon a man with a lust in my heart, if you happen to be a lady and listen to the program. This is a struggle that's real for both parties, men and women. And so the struggle's there. What do we do? How do we overcome it? How do we manage it? Well, we have to start by making a covenant with God and filling ourselves with the things of God. That's, you know, sanctify the Lord thy God in your heart, it says in 1 Peter 3:15. Fill more of your heart with the things of God than the things of the world. And you'll see, you know, some changes as far as your heart is concerned. So what I did, I did a little bit of research, and I came across Covenant Eyes. And this is a ministry, if you will, that helps people overcome porn. I just recently found out about it, went online, did some research. And some of the statistics are absolutely shocking. And so, for example, it opens with the virtual reality porn, and it should be a $1 billion business by the year 2025. VR, virtual reality, the video game industry now is already in that arena, and so this is going to be the next step in that arena. One of the other stats, 28,258 users are watching pornography every second. 28,258 users every second. Let's see. 1 in 5 mobile searches are for pornography. Keep a close eye on what your children are watching on their tablets and on their phones. Some parents, like, I'm not looking at my kid's phone. Well, you are a parent. Be responsible and watch and check and see what your children are watching on their phones. You're paying for them. Most parents are anyway. You have a right to see what's on their phone. We have pretty much an open check policy in our home. And my wife in particular will do that every now and then, check the phones and make sure. My son's only 14. And so check them. It's okay to do that. It's accountability. It's not a bad thing. And, you know, they'll be better for it. So let's see. There's some more stats here. 90% of teens and 96% of young adults are either encouraging, accepting, or neutral when they talk about porn with their friends. Only 43% of teens believe porn is bad for society, compared to 31% of young adults between 18 and 24. And then they give another breakdown of millennials, Gen Xers, boomers, and so forth. Now, here's some other stats as it relates to ministry. 1 in 5 youth pastors and 1 in 7 senior pastors view porn. 43% of senior pastors and youth pastors say they have struggled with pornography in the past. 64% of Christian men and 15% of Christian women say they watch porn at least once a month. I've got a few more stats here and then we'll move on. 51% of male students and 32% of female students first viewed porn before. Remember what I said earlier about checking the phone? They viewed porn before their teenage years. Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. You do have a right to check your daughter's phone and your son's phone, and you ought to. And get that stuff in check. So The other one here was, the first exposure to pornography among men is 12 years old on average. 12 years old. You know, let that simmer a bit. You know, those of you with young children, with young boys and girls, let that simmer a bit. 12 years old. 71% of teens hide online behavior from their parents. Now, here's some other stats, and then we'll move on. But I wanted to share this. Again, this is Covenant Eyes. You can find this. This was actually printed right off their website. So you can find it on there and look at it for yourself. And they've got a number of other resources and so forth on there to help people that are dealing with the addiction to porn. 68% of divorce cases involve one party meeting a new lover over the internet. 56% involved one party having an obsessive interest in pornographic websites. 70% of wives of sex addicts could be diagnosed with PTSD. And so that's all that I have for the stats on that. I think that was enough to kind of give you a wake-up call to how serious this problem is. The author used the word to kind of describe our society, our world, if you will. He called it pornotopia. It's everywhere, and it's desensitizing to the people. You know, it's everywhere. So in other words, it's, you know, what was outlawed or what was considered pornographic now is everyday, you know, a scene in, you know, a local supermarket or a Walmart or a mall or even school. I don't know how many restrictions they have in school in terms of dress. My guess is probably the standards aren't very high. So this is something, you know, just to really think about. When we think biblically, we think about the church at Corinth and the city of Corinth, and it had many issues, and Paul dealt with these in his letters. Morally speaking, he dealt with fornication, adultery, effeminate behavior, sodomy, etc. These were issues that, you know, were a problem to the church and being dealt with through Paul's letter to the church. And so, again, here we are in 2023 and dealing with these very issues. And, you know, it's plaguing the church. You know, those stats say almost half. And when I talked to the men, we had probably 18 to 20 people in that meeting. So if you think about half of the men in that room, so at least 9 to 10 of the men had viewed pornography. And nobody raised their hand and said, hey, you know, I'm doing it, you know, obviously. But that's the stat. So if you look out, you could see, you know, your congregation, half of them have watched porn or seen something that was pornographic. So we, the author uses David as an example in describing in detail his fall from grace when he saw Bathsheba bathing. One thing led to another, and it wasn't long before he had her over his house. He was fixated on her, and in the process of all of that, rationalized having an affair with her. And this, of course, led to some actions that followed with the death of her husband, Uriah, and, of course, the death of his child, and, you know, lessons to be had going forward from that. So anyway, it is God's will. I don't have any arguing about this. Well, don't be too critical. Don't be too judgmental. Men are going to be men and women are going to be women. No, it is God's will for us to be pure. And Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8 covers sanctification. Sanctification means a number of different things, but one is to be set apart for God. And then there's the active sanctification in our part in deliberately separating ourselves from those things that are impure or an offense to God. And here's one of the things I've been harping on a lot lately at the church. Our knowledge of God is going to frame the way we live, the way we understand the world around us. It's going to help us to have a clearer picture of what a biblical worldview is. The further you are away from God, the less knowledge you have of God, the less concern you have for offending God. Impurity offends God. And so knowing who God is, not to just he's a creator or some being, he is a holy God, he is a righteous God, and he is a just God. And so to add into the mix immorality, well, it's a contradiction. It's a contradiction to who we are to be as Christian men and Christian women. So it is God's will for us to be pure. So here are some considerations on purity. Number one, keep in mind making a covenant with your eyes to not look at things that would be considered immoral or pornographic or inappropriate. That will go a long way in helping you to maintain a very healthy, vibrant, vigorous spiritual life, a life that has order and discipline in it, and a life that is pleasing to God. So here are some things listed. These are some of the things that the author mentioned. Number one, accountability. Having somebody that you can trust and talk with about this. Somebody that's not going to go posting your comments and your deepest secrets or your burdens or your sin online, but somebody you respect, somebody you can talk to, somebody that you can make yourself accountable to. Somebody who understands the nature of the battle. Somebody that's going to encourage you and not berate you or make you feel small, but somebody that you know will check in every now and then on you, see how you're doing, one that's going to pray for you and encourage you with scripture, good reading material, you know, just a good friendship in that regard. James talks about confessing your faults one to another. And based on the research done by Covenant Eyes, this is one of the best methods for helping to overcome this addiction. I know the other addictions, and I've met folks that have come off heroin addiction or alcohol addiction, and having somebody to be accountable to, a support group, and of course within the context of Christianity, it's the church, it's the brethren. But this is an important piece, accountability. The next thing is pray. Pray when temptation comes. Actually, before it even comes, this will go a long way in protecting and guiding you in the area of the heart and your mind, and of course, helping you to be pure. So praying for one another is also equally important. Memorize scripture. This is important because when you memorize scripture, it's hidden in your heart, and it it's a reminder, you know, if temptation is such, there's a scripture, maybe you think of Job 31:1, making a covenant with your eyes, or 1 Peter 3:15, you know, hiding, sanctifying the Lord thy God in your hearts, and so forth and so on. And there are a number of verses that deal with that. Then there's the discipline of the mind. And again, another very important part of our being that we need to keep with all diligence. We are to have the mind of Christ, and we are to think on those things that are right and pure. And Philippians deals with that. I think it's a real good, safe place to be. One of those texts of scripture that we should all memorize. Philippians, and I think most of you are probably familiar with this. When I start reading it, you will. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." So that's a way of renewing the mind. That's the way you cultivate the mind of Christ. And so consider that, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Then there's divine awareness. Understand the presence of God throughout the day. And Hughes mentions Joseph and his, and I quote, "great skedaddle out of the house when Potiphar's wife came unto him." Many of you remember that story in Genesis 39, verse number 9. She came in and she was really trying to steal Joseph's heart away, and he hightailed it out of there, you know. And you know, basically what he said, I'm paraphrasing, "What shall I do, this great sin against God?" So he understood the presence of God. He understood the holiness of God. He understood his relationship with God. Joseph's a fascinating study. He maintained his integrity throughout that whole trial, from the moment that he was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery. You see, even while he was in jail, he maintained his integrity, and he was blessed for it. And the author makes an interesting comment regarding lust, and I quote, "At this moment of lust, God loses all reality. Satan does not fill us with hatred of God, but with forgetfulness of God," end quote. Isn't that interesting? Most people that you talk to with a serious addiction, they lose a sense of God. They forget God while they engage in that particular sin. So what we need to train ourselves to do, like David did, and David knew, no matter where he was, God was there. That wasn't going to change. God was there. Is to keep in mind that God is present. Okay? All right. So I have to bring it to a close there. So it's covenanteyes.com/pornstats/. That's the website. Check it out. You can get those stats right online. And then there's a number of other resources there with that. So we're going to continue. Our next subject under relationships will be marriage. So I'm going to bring it to a close now because we've run out of time. Take care and have a blessed weekend.